Tonight, we're in a somewhat sad chapter of Genesis, Genesis chapter 4. As we begin our study of Genesis 4 tonight, we're going to observe certain new relationships that God built into man and to woman. Part of this particular relationship it was also made as a part of the various animals and critters. The purpose for making them male and female was to encourage production of each kind so that the various kinds would produce additional members of their kind in order to expand the number of living things of each kind. And the first verse in Genesis 4 explains that Adam and Eve experienced the same relationship, and God has given that relationship, and the result was the birth of Cain. Genesis 4:1. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, "I have gotten a man from the Lord." The name Cain means possession. He was a farmer. Adam and Eve experienced the relationship that God intended for marriage only. And another offspring was produced who was named Abel. The name meaning vanity. Isn't that interesting? Verse 2. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. There was a difference between the two boys, and those of you who have had multiple children know there's always a difference. None of them are alike, usually. The two boys that developed almost immediately, Cain was lazier than Abel. It was very obvious. As a farmer raising vegetables, once you get the ground prepared and the seed is planted, you don't have to do much. You just watch it grow, okay? With sheep, as Abel did, it takes a lot of investment. You have to water sheep every day. You have to feed sheep every day, make sure that they're cared for, that they are well, that they are where they are supposed to be. And so Cain was the lazier of the two boys. He'd plant his crop and he'd just sit back and wait for God to grow it. Abel had to take care of his sheep, and he had to daily, most of the time during the day, you have to make sure they've got water. You've got to make sure they've got a place to eat. You've got to make sure that they have a quiet time. If a sheep does not have a quiet time, the sheep will die. It's unable to digest its food. So they are like a cow. They have to ruminate. They have to rechew their food. And if they don't have a quiet time, they will not do that. And if they don't do that, then they will not get the energy from the food that they're supposed to get. And so they will die. And with farming, you can occasionally take some time off from work. We grew up on a farm where we had cattle, pigs, chickens, and an occasional sheep for my sister. We had to be there every day. Every morning, you had to milk cows. They don't wait. Every night, you have to be there to milk cows. They don't wait. You cannot go away because you have to take care of those cows. And so Abel was busy all the time. Cain was not necessarily busy. Genesis 4, 3 and 4. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering to the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and unto his offering. Keep in mind that God had established the required offering for sin with Adam and Eve. And I'm sure as the boys were growing up, Adam and Eve told them the story of how God had offered for their sin offering. God had slain some of the animals so that he could dress Adam and Eve in their skins. There was bloodshed for the sin of Adam and Eve. That was a type being established at that time. The boy should have known that it took blood to get forgiveness of sin. We're told in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 11:4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Abel knew that it had to be a blood sacrifice, and he offered such a sacrifice. Cain should have also known. Cain was the older brother, remember. He should have known that it required blood as a sacrifice. It would have been clearly understood, I think, by both boys that blood was necessary. Hebrews 9:22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission. The same thing applies to our personal sins. There had to be bloodshed for our sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ was the one who did that. We can do nothing for anybody else's sin. I can't do anything for your sin. You can't do anything for mine. It has to be done by us for our own sin. And that was the way that God set it up. That's God's requirement. I have thought about this as to why Cain did not offer blood. And you know why? I figured out that Cain was a bit of a tightwad. He did not want to buy a sheep from his brother to offer a blood sacrifice. And we see the result of pride in Cain's response. He was not happy with God. Genesis 4:5 and 7. But unto Cain and unto his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Who are you mad at? Why are you mad? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt not thou be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. The Hebrew language is an interesting language. All other languages besides English. English was a very complicated language. There are many words that mean exactly different things. If you talk about a plane as an example, are you thinking of something that goes at the airport? Or are you thinking of a stretch of land where they grow wheat and barley and some of the grains? Are you thinking about a tool that you smooth wood down? They're all spelled the same way. They're all pronounced the same way. Plain. So language is important. And in the Hebrew language, which was how some of this was written, this word sin has two meanings. It means to violate God's will, which we all do. It also means sin offering. Very same word, just the however, whatever the circumstances that is being used in. Sin and sin offering are exactly the same word in Hebrew. So when we look at this verse that we just read, verse 7, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. It's not talking about committing a sin, it's talking about the sin offering is outside the door. You do not make the sin offering inside except in the temple. When the sin offering was made by the people coming to the temple, where did they slaughter the animal? Outside the door. And that's why that's what this word right here means. That the sin offering is ready to be made outside of the door. Notice how God goes right to the heart of the matter as he's talking to Cain. He does that with us sometimes. There are times when I'm reading his word or the Holy Spirit speaks to my heart, and he probably does the same thing with you. It's like inserting a knife into my soul and then turning it a little bit to make sure that it's being noticed. Conviction. We call it conviction. And it's just awareness of sin. But God's choice of word tells us a lot. Wrath indicates anger on Cain's part. He was angry. So who was Cain angry at? He was angry at two different people. He was angry at God, and we wouldn't do anything like that ever, I'm sure. And he was also angry at his brother Abel because he was accepted by God, where Cain was not accepted. I think that being angry with both of them is what was the beginning of the problem we read about in this chapter. Understanding the Hebrew language helps us better understand verse 7. If you do what is right, you do well. But if you do not do what is right, then sin is prevalent, and an offering can be made just outside the tent door for that sin. We live in a very good time. We don't have to offer. The offering has already been made. It was made 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ made the offering so that we would not have to sacrifice animals outside the door here. We come in and we ask God to forgive us because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that Cain and Abel did not have that privilege. It was not to happen for another 4,000 years. Verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Jesus Christ was witness to this event and refers to it in Matthew 23. It was the first shedding of righteous blood in the planet's history. Matthew 23, 33 through 35. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Zacharias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. And it still goes on today. It still goes on today. Brothers are slaying brothers. People are killing each other over anger. Anger that they are something better than themselves. God gave Cain a chance to be faithful and to repent in the very next verse, in verse 9, Genesis 4, 9 through 12. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel your brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Isn't it interesting how sin progressed? Cain killed Abel. Cain lied to God. Cain felt no responsibility for his brother's death. He felt no remorse. He felt no conviction. He felt none of those things. You and I, because we have called out to the Lord Jesus Christ to save us, when we sin, I hope we come under conviction. I hope it bothers our conscience that we have done something against the will of God. Here, Cain was not bothered. Jesus Christ admitted that 4,000 years later, when he came back to this earth to minister and show the world who he was. Jesus is chewing out the religious people of his day, the leaders of the synagogues, and he is telling them that they are still murdering each other. To hate a person is to commit murder in your heart. That's what Jesus said. So God gave Cain a chance to repent. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Verse 10. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. You see, because Cain did not repent, because Cain felt no remorse, God cursed Cain. And this curse, well, let's finish the passage, verse 12. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. Now there you have the curse of God upon Cain. That curse no longer exists. You know why? Because of the flood. All of the posterity of Cain died. They drowned in the flood. But for a time, until the flood, there was a curse involving the tilling of the ground and the establishing of social relationships with Cain's family. They were considered vagabonds. They were considered like the Bedouins who live in the desert today in the Middle East. They are of no worth. The gypsies that travel the circuit around the Mediterranean, again, are considered of no worth because they are not part of a nation. I was challenged. I was out hunting one night. I'm a hunter. I was out hunting one night in Turkey for wild boar. And I ran up on some gypsies. And you know what I was asked the next day? why didn't you kill them? That was what I was actually asked by some of the Turkish people who lived around me. Because they are of no value to anyone. They are vagabonds. They are considered worthless. They do not have a nationality. And I have seen the gypsies travel through there. They have a reputation that they are thieves, that they'll take anything they can. And we occasionally have gypsies here in this country traveling around. And what is your opinion of them? They're a bunch of thieves. They're worthless. They're not adding to society. They're taking from it. That was the curse that God put upon Cain. It had nothing to do with a mark of Cain or the color of his skin or anything else. It was a social relationship that God established with him. Those who think that race had anything to do with it are very wrong in their interpretation of Scripture, because race came through the genetics of Adam and had nothing to do with sin. Listen to what what comes next in the history of humanity. Cain was marked by God as a warning not to kill him or his posterity. I don't know what the mark was. Nobody does. The Bible does not tell us. Genesis 4:16 says, "And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden." Now, when the Bible tells us that Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, he did not go out from the presence of the Lord. When he went out, he lived as a law unto himself. There are sections of our country now who live as laws unto themselves. You say, oh, well, that's down in Alabama, or that's, you know, in one of those places. I can show you a group of folks, neighbors of Linda, who are living as laws to themselves. It's all over the country. It's a natural thing for people to do. They don't want to yield to the authority that wants to yield and wants to be over people. Certain groups, certain locations, they are not willing to do that. And so they live as laws unto themselves. What they do because they want to do. They don't go get permits to build something, they build it. They don't go get permits to cut trees down, they cut them down. They are a law unto themselves. That is a sinful way to live, because that omits God mostly. Who is God? He is the giver of laws. He has given us laws that we are to live by, laws that we are to get saved by. So, God's plan for humanity was to, well, let me back up a little bit. So Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and today, most of our nation, oh, they know there's a God, but he has no place in their life. And that is not new. That has just grown. The ladies were talking tonight. We have church services before church service in the vestibule out here. Some were talking about how they grew up and what part Christ had in their life and the life of their family. I grew up in a family that did not have Jesus Christ. They believed that God would never send anybody to hell, that everybody was going to heaven, no matter what you did, how you lived. They were Unitarian Universalists. And in case you hear the Unitarian Church or the Universalist Church, that is what they believe. They believe there is no such thing as sin. There is no such place as hell, and that everybody is going to heaven. And we have those kind of churches around us. So, Cain was marked and he went out from God's presence. He became a law to himself. He became his own God. And that is the way that he lived. Now, we have a short genealogy of Cain's family in the next two verses. All the time, the family was headed in the wrong direction. They were moving in the direction of the world until their sin became wicked enough that God decided to destroy the creation that he had made with the flood. And he was going to start over with Noah, his family. Genesis 4, 17 and 18. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad. And Irad begat Mehujael. And Mehujael begat Methusael. And Methusael begat Lamech. Life was certainly headed downhill for Cain's posterity. They were the rednecks of the early race. They had nothing to do with God, in fact. They were looking for ways to thwart God's plan for humanity. In fact, one wife should have been enough, but not for Lamech. He didn't want to be two conservatives, so he thought if one wife is good, two will be better. Genesis 4, 19 through 22. And Lamech took to him two wives. The name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other, Zilpah. And Ada bare Jabal, and he was the father of such that dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handled the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. The sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. Now we come to verse 23 and 24. The way that these verses are written caused some confusion or lack of understanding. Let's look at them. Genesis 4, 23 and 4. And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zilpah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. Lamech didn't do what Cain did. The man that he killed in self-defense. Not murder as Cain with Abel. If you have a study Bible, you can read the notes that goes with these two experiences that Lamech used. The first would be to my wounding, which means who wounded me. The man that Lamech killed had attacked him first. And the second would be to my hurt, which would be understood as who hurt me. So he closes with the statement that there should be no retribution from any of the young man's family. Lamech had been attacked and had just defended himself. The chapter now reestablishes the godly line with another son of Adam and Eve. There are always at least two lines, one line of sinners, one line of worldly people, and then what Adam and Eve were looking for, a godly line. Genesis 4, 25 and 26. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew, and to Seth, and to him also, there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. That shows you that this is a godly line. Seth is going to be the godly line. In chapter 5, we'll follow them to Noah, whom God chose to perpetuate the human race. And in verse 26, we see God being revealed and revered and honored by this new family of believers. I know we're very early tonight, but that is as far as I want to go on chapter. Well, we can go on into chapter 5. All right. I've got it prepared here. Let's look at it. This is going to foul up AB's labeling of the disc, but that's your problem, AB. Okay. At the end of chapter 4, we saw another son born to Adam and Eve to take the place of Abel. And Seth was born unto Adam and Eve, and he would be the godly line that would carry out the genealogy up to Noah, ultimately to Jesus Christ. Chapter 5 is basically a genealogy of the godly line. Some Bible readers get confused by the fact that there are two Enochs. There was an Enoch who was the first son of Cain. Further down in the line of Seth, there is to be another Enoch. The second Enoch was the son of Jared, who was a part of the godly line to Noah. The second Enoch was a very special person, and so we'll take a look at this tonight. One of the things I was thinking about and wondering about was how they picked the names for some of these children. I mean, where does that name come from? There's no Georges, there's no Bobbies, there's no Sues in the early churches. Here's just all these letters put together, and that's the name. I don't know how they did it or where it came from. But let's look at Genesis 5. This is the book of the generations of Adam in the day that God created man. In the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them. And blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, called his name Seth. Now, we don't know how old Adam and Eve were. They were created mature. They were created adults. They were not created babies because there was nobody to take care of them. God created them as mature adults. Now, we don't know if they got together immediately or if time passed. But we do know that Adam fathered first of all Cain and then Abel. They were not very far apart. So, one thing that you will notice from this point on, God cursed Cain. We have a short genealogy of Cain ending in Lamech, who took two wives, and a little bit of genealogy there. And we do not hear him mentioned again. We don't hear his family mentioned again. When God curses someone, they are done. Now, there are those who criticize Cain for marrying his sister, because Cain, that's the only way that Cain produced children, because his sister was the only one available. Adam and Eve had a lot of children. We're not told who they were, but we do know that that's where Cain and Abel got their wives if they were married. We know Cain was. We don't know about Abel. We don't hear anything more about Abel. We don't hear anything more about Cain at this point. We hear about Seth. Seth also had to marry a sister because that's the only ones who were available. In the early days, sin was not as rampant as it is today. It's not as prevalent as it is today. Sin has changed the world. Sin has changed the creation. Things that were good are no longer good. Things that were harmless are no longer harmless. And so as the humanity moved on through history, sin got worse and worse and worse, and it affected the genetics of the human race. So today, it is against the law for close relatives to marry, because it could create a problem in the birth of the child. The child who was born might have some very serious problems because of some of the genetics, the DNA and things being exactly the same. It might cause some mental problems. It might cause physical problems. It can cause many different kinds of problems because sin has affected the genetic strain. Back then it was okay. Today it's not. And so here in chapter 5, we're reminded once more that God made the animals and the critters, as well as the birds and the fish, male and female, for the purpose of producing offspring of the same kind. And we are also reminded that all he made for the human element was male and female. There were no other kinds. No matter who says what, there was just male and female. For our government to think differently is sheer idiocy. Genesis 5, 4, 5, and 5. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters, that's producing more mates. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Adam lived many years after he fathered Seth. And that was because sin had not made such corrosive inroads into the physical aspect of life at this point. As sin got more prevalent, death came sooner in the life of all animals, including mankind. There's a time when God saw that it would be good to establish a standard for mankind to live, and that was established as 120 years. But in the beginning, lives were lived much longer, 800-900 years. And as we follow the genealogy of early human family, we see the age when the first child was produced become less and less. Once again, I believe that it came about because sin was increasing within the human race. Genesis 5, 6, and 7. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 877 years and begat sons and daughters. We see the human race increasing with each generation. I do wonder where they got the names, like I said earlier. Have you noticed there were no Bobs, there were no Jimmies? There's one thing that we should notice, and that is at the end of each life, the person died. That was not God's intent when He created them. He created them to live forever. And there was a part of them that was created to live forever, and it does. And that is the soul. It does live forever. Everybody, no matter who they are, how good, how bad, everybody is going to live somewhere forever. Genesis 5:8. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. As we read chapter 5, there isn't too much of significance until we get to this second Enoch. So let's follow the godly line to that point. Just scripture now, Genesis 5, 9 through 18. And Enos lived 90 years and begat Cain. And Enos lived after he begat Canaan 815 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And Canaan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel. And Canaan lived after he begat Mahalalel 840 years. He begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years. See, life is getting shorter, shorter. And he died. And Mahalalel lived 65 years and begat Jared. And Mahalalel lived after he begat Jared 830 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years and he died. And Jared lived 162 years and he begat Enoch, the second Enoch. And some people, like I said, get confused. Cain, his first son, was Enoch. He named him Enoch. Seth, five generations later, there's another Enoch produced. And so let's read on in Genesis 5, 19 and 20. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years and he died. Now, I've had people ask me if I thought that these people went to heaven or not. What do you think? Let's think this thing through, okay? I don't know, I can't be dogmatic, but I believe that part of the worship of God was the same kind of worship that Adam offered, blood sacrifices that cover the sin. And if they covered their sin with a blood sacrifice, of course they went to heaven. Because that's what God accepted. That's what God established. That's what Jesus Christ did. But he did it perfectly. These people had to offer sacrifices as they sinned. And that's what they did. That's what they were doing when Jesus came. They would bring the ox or the sheep or the lamb to the temple door, cut its throat, offer its blood for covering of their sin. When Jesus came, Jesus died. He made the perfect sacrifice for sin. He was sinless. Animals, do animals sin? No, they don't have a soul to sin with. They have a spirit. And you have nice dogs, you have dogs that bite, okay? The dog has not a choice. God just made them that way. So, We see here where the next in line in the Noahic line gets really short. Well, let's go back and finish with Enoch. And Enoch lived 90 years, begat Canaan. Enos lived after he begat Canaan. I read that. And did I read all of that? Yes, I did. Okay. Now, we're starting at Genesis 5, 19 and 20. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And the days of Jared were 960 and 2 years, and he died. And again, that's when I had people ask me if people went to heaven then, and they did. The Bible doesn't tell us, but it tells us that there was a godly line. Genesis 5, 21 through 24. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And then verse 23. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. God translated him. The same way he did Elijah. He never died. Now, when we get to the book of Revelation, there are two witnesses during the Great Tribulation. And a lot of people think it's going to be Enoch and Elijah. Because it is given unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And they never died till the tribulation. Okay, it's almost 7 o'clock. I'm going to stop there for tonight. But we'll continue on here in chapter 5 and get into chapter 6. Not next week, because we will not have an evening service next week, okay? So we will pick this up again the last week of November. Any questions on anything we've covered tonight? Well, you know, God made sure there was a witness when Elijah was translated. And that was Elisha. I wonder if the family of Enoch was around to see him translated. Yes. Yes. There are certain groups that intermarry for what they consider legitimate reasons, which are not. I knew of a group that was in Turkey. We met some of them when Connie and I were there, living there. They had been living there a little over 500 years. They had moved there from Spain during the Spanish Inquisition, because they were being persecuted and put to death. They had lived in Turkey for almost 500 years. They spoke Turkish with a Spanish accent. They were so isolated from everybody. And again, they had a great deal of trouble with some of their children being produced because they were intermarrying and had been doing so for 500 years. So it makes a difference, and it's a problem. It's a big problem. But there are other places in the world like that where a group will put themselves aside and try and live separate from the rest of the world. All right. we'll have our closing song, and we'll go ahead and I'll close in prayer from the back when you're done with the song.